Welcome to the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast, hosted by myself, Emma, and my wonderful friend, Becca. This podcast is dedicated to parents-to-be and new families in the East Surrey area, providing a wealth of knowledge and support through the exciting journey of pregnancy and birth.
Join us as we discuss everything from prenatal care and childbirth education to navigating the challenges of life with a new baby. We'll be joined by guest expert speakers, including midwives, doulas, breastfeeding experts, nutritionists and more, who will share their insights and expertise to help you make informed decisions and feel confident in your choices.
Whether you're a first-time parent or a seasoned pro, the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast has something for everyone. With a focus on empowering parents, we will help you feel calm, confident and supported through your pregnancy and birth journey. So tune in and get ready to be inspired.
Hi, Emma.
Hi, Becca. How are you?
I'm good. It's just us two today.
It is. It's been a while since it's just been the two of us.
Yeah, we've had quite a lot of guests in the last month, haven't we?
We have loads of really amazing guests as well. It's been a really good month.
Really good.
If you haven't listened to any of our recent episodes, do go back and check them out. We've talked to Cafe Milk about feeding support.
We've had the home birth, the Sash home birth team.
We've had Chloe and Pilates. Yeah, it's been a really busy month.
Really busy month.
It's just the two of us.
It's quite nice to be just us two today, actually.
So we are back today just to kind of give you all some general information and advice about birthy-related things rather than local services.
Yeah.
And as April is C-section awareness month, we will talk a little bit about cesareans today.
Yeah, because I guess it's not something that comes up a lot in terms of when people go to antenatal classes and things. It is touched on, but it's not sort of majorly touched on. And we thought if we just talk about the things that you may not necessarily know, and just sort of like the differences between emergency and non-emergency, and what to expect.
And I think ultimately a key takeaway before we even talk about all of this is the importance that everyone should prepare for a cesarean.
Absolutely.
Whether you are planning a scheduled one, and we're going to talk about those differences, or are hoping for a vaginal birth, nothing is ever guaranteed. Sometimes plans do change, things are out of our control. And actually at the moment, it's something around sort of 45-50% of all births are cesareans.
One in four, I think I read a statistic recently. One in four are cesarean births.
That's an unplanned. No, it's more than that. That's an unplanned
cesarean.
That's an
unplanned cesarean.
If you look at East Surrey at the moment, it's nearly 50% of all the births are cesareans. About half of those being the complete planned.
Yeah.
The others being the unplanned.
Yeah.
Where things have changed on the day. So
it's a high number. It's a high number.
It is a high number. And it is a big deal. It's a surgery. Yeah. And I think it's always just really wise to know a little bit about what to expect, which we'll kind of talk you through today.
Yeah.
And know how to make that experience as positive as possible. That is always
personal, personalised, positive experience.
That is always our goal.
Yeah. Because we often say about birth plans, it's great to plan what you would like in your birth, but it's also really important to plan for those plan Bs, such as induction or C-section, because if you haven't got a plan, it may come to that point and you think, actually, I don't know what to expect, I don't know what I want.
And then
suddenly upon you, and you think, oh, now I'm back in fright and flight mode, and it makes it more negative, makes it more frightening.
Exactly.
So planning before that is really key, isn't it?
Yeah, so we'll give you a few little top tips towards the end of this episode about what things we suggest you can do. But I think probably the first thing we should do is dispel a little bit of a misconception around C-sections, and this is kind of around the idea of people having a planned C-section, which they absolutely do, and that the only other option is that it's an emergency C-section.
That word, that emergency.
It is. Yeah. And the reality is there's four different types of C-sections. So let's break it down.
Let's break it down. And it goes back to language as well. When you hear the word emergency, you think panic, you know, fright and flight, something's wrong, it's an emergency. You have visions of like, you know, I mean, let's break it down.
So, should we start number four?
Number four.
Number four, category four cesarean section is a planned cesarean. So that means during your pregnancy, for whatever reason, actually I have a couple of statistics here. So around a third of all planned cesareans are due to women having had previous cesareans mm-hmm. and choosing to go that route for their second or subsequent birth.
Yep.
Around 20% of those are to do with babies being in awkward positions, whether that they'd be breech, transverse, yeah. whatever they're up to in there.
Yeah.
And then actually another 20% of those is purely for maternal preference. That is women who, for whatever reason, feel that for them, a cesarean is the way that their baby is to be born. So that is a category four. You get an appointment, you get an appointment letter through, you turn up on the day for your scheduled cesarean.
Yeah, and there is a bit of
waiting. Caveats about the scheduledness, though.
There can be waiting. So it's not a case if you walk in and you get prepped up straight away and go down straight away. There will be a process in terms of what's going on that day, if they've had women that have had to go in before you because they've got unplanned.
The more urgent cases will.
So there could be a bit of waiting time going on.
Yes. The third, category three, is a scheduled cesarean. See, that sounds the same as the other one, but what that is when you have, again, planned a cesarean for whatever reason we've just discussed, but you go into labour before your scheduled date comes up.
Which happens.
It happens. Because normally your scheduled date, depending on the reason around it, will be somewhere around the 39 to 40 week mark. Yeah.
Or maybe 38. Maybe 38.
It depends on the reason,
I think. Yeah, depends on the circumstances.
But the reality is women do go into labour before those dates on occasion.
Mm.
So, yeah, category three is that you are in labour, but you had a planned cesarean, so you ring up the hospital, you let them know that you're in labour, and again you go onto the list for that day, but you are well, baby is well, there is no urgency to it, you will just be on that list. So you may be labouring for a period first, so even if you are planning a scheduled cesarean, it's always worth still doing a little bit of preparation for labour and coping with contractions and things like that, because you don't know for certain that there might not be
a time when you're in labour before.
A day's worth of labour whilst you wait for that slot to come up. Absolutely. So that's a useful little tidbit to bear in mind.
Mm.
Then we move up to a grade two cesarean. So that is an unplanned, but kind of in inverted commas, urgent cesarean. So that is you have gone in planning for a vaginal birth.
And you're probably in there labouring.
Or maybe you've gone in and you've been induced. That's another kind of common route down this path, and that for some reason during your labour the plans change, that there's some kind of concern around the well-being of you
or
well-being of baby, labour isn't progressing, how there's a number
of reasons,
and that then means that you move towards having a cesarean, but it is not an emergency. But for the majority of cases of people having unplanned cesareans, this is the category they fall in.
It's still being used, the term
emergency.
They will still call it an emergency. Yeah. And this is where people panic and go, oh, the word emergency's been used.
Yeah.
We're in trouble. Is my baby okay?
Yeah.
So this is where you really sort of have to, you know, think, right, yes, they're calling it an emergency, but actually in this circumstance, they've told me I'm okay, baby's okay, but it's just because I would say things are not progressing as they like, or the slight issues come up, but it's not emergency.
Yeah.
So they'll still use the term emergency, but it is actually unplanned.
Yes, and even the maternity staff, we've been in various kind of get-togethers with some of the maternity team, and even they have voiced that the term emergency cesarean isn't helpful. They're trying to move away from that language.
They are trying to change it.
It's language that's been used for a long time. It's very difficult to kind of unlearn those ingrained habits.
Especially with consultants as well, because obviously they will still use the term emergency as well, because, again, medical related.
But also as women going into birth, we use that kind of language because it's what we've always heard. It's what we see on TV, even still reading books. That kind of terminology is always used. But to kind of give that reassurance that it isn't emergencies, in this kind of category cesarean, the goal is that your baby would be born within the next 75 minutes, so another hour and a quarter.
That's
the goal.
That's the aim.
Gives that little bit of context of if it was a true emergency, would we be waiting an hour and a quarter that decision to that baby being born?
There's a sense of urgency, maybe,
but it is not an emergency.
And there's usually plenty of time in terms of there's time to
actually get changed, fill out forms, sign forms, get partner changed.
If you don't already have an epidural in place, then it's putting in your anaesthetic.
And actually, there's a lot of prep time. There's actually that hour and a quarter. There's a lot of prep time, a lot of form filling. And this is actually a really good time. We were just saying this before we was recording. This is a really good time where if you feel yourself getting anxious or scared or fearful, this is where you put all your hypnobirthing techniques into place. So, because you've got that time while you're being prepared and you may feel yourself that adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Do your breathing. Do your meditation. Do your guided. If you have to sit there and put headphones on and listen to your audios or your guided meditations.
Yeah.
This is the time to put yourself back in that calm mindset. Absolutely. If you feel yourself going in that sort of fright or flight mode.
Yeah.
And think, okay, this is not what we've planned. Obviously, I know I'm going to theatre, but actually I am safe. Yeah. I am with professionals who know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I you know, so it's getting yourself back in that calm mindset and doing all those hypnobirthing techniques.
Absolutely, because in hypnobirthing we talk a lot about these techniques, but normally more in the kind of context of being in that calm, relaxed state is what helps your labour progress. Being in that stress one slows it down, and you might think, well, I'm having a cesarean now, I don't need my labour to continue progressing. But okay, we ignore that benefit of doing those things, but your mental well-being in that moment and being relaxed and not in a panicked state, it's going to make a huge difference to how you look back on that time.
Absolutely.
If you were so worried going into that theatre, that's going to be your overwhelming
emotion
when you look back at it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you are able to stay calm, embrace the change as much as possible, do, like Becca said, all those techniques, and go into that theatre, okay, maybe, potentially disappointed or about the way you're...
Or still going to be a level of anxiety.
Don't go in for surgery every day, like it is an uncommon thing, but hopefully feeling...
a bit more in control and a bit more...
excited that you're about to meet your baby and embrace those emotions.
But... yeah, because that's what you're going to look back on. Those are the memories you're going to remember. And also, let's face it, the more calm you are, the more... calm your body is and your muscles are. So in terms of the actual surgery, your body is going to cope with it much better, because if your muscles are relaxed, then it's going to not be as tense for when they do the surgery. So actually recovery afterwards might will probably improve,
and it will help with bonding, and if you're planning on breastfeeding, establishing breastfeeding, all those things as well, because they are all hormone led responses in our body. And if you are packed full of adrenaline, it's going to be a little bit harder for your body to get those beautiful. Again, we need all that oxytocin we talk about with birth, back after birth, to help bond with our babies, to help get breastfeeding established. So
which
you
are
still
gonna,
need all of that.
They're going to plummet if you're anxious. Yeah. So,
And then very finally, we have the last category of cesarean. So it's a category one, and this is the emergency.
Actually an emergency, which I have to say is a very small number, isn't it?
They reckon around 2% of all total births, according to the statistics I'm looking at. If you are interested in learning more, I really recommend a book called Why Caesarean Matters. It is part of a whole massive series of books called Why Blank Matters, all things to do with birth. And if you are planning a caesarean or really want to learn in depth more about it's a really great little resource.
It is a good book, and it's not a massive book as well. Sometimes you can look at it and think, oh, that looks huge, but it's actually not that big of a book.
According to the statistics she's quoted, it's around 2% of all births and only sort of less than 1 in 10 of all cesareans, and it is in the case where there is an immediate concern for the well-being.
So before anyone
mum or baby
listening thinking don't panic, you know, it's uncommon.
In this kind of category, they are aiming for your baby to be born within 30 minutes at the latest, but the sooner the better. And actually, if you already have something like an epidural in place, babies can be born, and I have known them to be born within sort of 10 minutes of that decision.
It can be very quick.
It's
it has to be very quick.
It's kind of a surprising thing around cesareans, actually. It's quite a long process you're in theatre for, but actually the point from sort of first incision made in the skin and your baby being born is a matter of minutes.
It can be very quick.
The sort of remaining 45 minutes to an hour you're in theatre is then very, very carefully
putting you back together.
Putting you back together, sewing up each layer of tissue and things really nicely so that that scar is really strong, and in future pregnancies you're really safe and you can go on to have vaginal births after C-sections, because that scar has all been beautifully very carefully all been repaired.
And it's layer by layer as well. I think most people think it's like a massive big, right, one big...
No, and they go in different directions. It's really... Yeah.
Each layer is very, very carefully done.
So that takes a long time. But if they are concerned about your health or your baby's health, your baby will be born really quite quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. And so, like we say, that the statistics of that are very low.
They are really low,
So when it comes to emergency C-sections, a real emergency, like Emma said, is like 2% of all births. The other emergency which they will use is actually unplanned.
As we just said. The majority of C-sections are in that category.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's just helpful to reprogram your brain a little bit.
Going back to reframing those thoughts about C-section, rather than thinking, oh, if it happens, it could be, it's an emergency. It's reframing to say, actually, it's unplanned, more likely than emergency.
Yeah.
Which is going to make it sound, again, back to language, so much better than emergency.
Exactly.
So when you're doing your birth plan and you're thinking, right, let's plan for a cesarean if we need one, remember the word unplanned and use that and highlight it if you have
to. If I need an unplanned cesarean, then I
will choose all these.
Yeah,
it's going to make you feel more positive about it. So, yeah. So, thank you, Em. That's a really good breakdown of the four categories.
Statistics for everyone.
Not everyone will think of it as four categories. They will think of it as either planned or emergency.
Yes.
So, it's good to actually have a breakdown of what they are in.
Indeed.
So, should we discuss about if you are having a C-section?
Yeah.
What can we do?
Yeah, what can you put on that birth plan we just mentioned to take a bit of control?
Yeah. What should we start with?
Let's start super simple. The kind of little practical things, like if you're going into theatre for any reason, you will have an IV cannula of some variety.
Mm-hmm.
And you will also have the little sticky pads that go on your chest that are monitoring your vital signs whilst you are having a surgery.
And this is actually a really easy adaption to make.
Get your IV in your non-dominant hand. So, I mean, if you're right-handed, get it in your left. Left-handed, get it in your
Most of you will probably be right-handed.
Statistically.
Yeah, statistically. There we go. Bad statistics.
Get it in your non-dominant hand. Because they aren't the most comfortable things, you will probably still have it in for a few hours post-birth.
That surprised me,
actually. More liquids, more pain relief, things like that. And they are uncomfortable. Once your baby is born, you want to be holding, touching, caring for your baby and having your dominant hand as the more comfy one will make your life just that little bit easier.
Yeah. And the sticky pads, monitoring, again, really, really easy. Put them on your back.
Yeah, or somewhere just as well.
Somewhere out of the way so they can still monitor you, but they're out of the way so that when baby is born and you have that lovely skin-to-skin contact that we often talk about, you have the bare skin to put your baby on rather than worrying about monitors and baby can't get there because of monitors.
Yeah, again, it's lodging things.
It's just the wiring and things. It's actually really, really easy.
Really
adaption to make.
Simple change. Change how you feel.
Change how you and your baby have that first contact.
Absolutely.
So easy. And going back to the IV, because I had to have one with my second, I was surprised by how many days I actually had to have it, because obviously, like you say, with pain relief, and I had to have antibiotics for a few days afterwards.
And
it was in there for a good few days, and I remember being like, asking, can I have this out yet? And they were like, no, you've still got one more day of that.
No.
And it drove me mad in the end.
And if you have had a cesarean and you don't need additional antibiotics or anything like that, it might only be in for sort of 6, 8, 10 hours after that birth, but still, that is time where you want to feel as comfortable as possible.
And you want to be able to hold your baby comfortably or position them or anything
without an annoying sensation in your hand. You can also not always have them in your hand. Sometimes your forearm is an option. I recently had cannulas in and I opted for my forearm, which was so much more comfortable because I could
actually use
both of my hands.
Okay, that's interesting.
But it depends on your veins. Like, we've all got different veins.
Oh, mine
Sometimes
are awful.
They've got to go with whatever they can get.
Mine are awful. Whenever I have blood tests, they hate it when I come in because literally I've got veins that you can't really see.
Oh,
my mum's got lovely veins. It's literally like they go, right, here you go. And they're like literally looking at her. Mine just shrink in.
Yeah, so I'm not promising a forearm. It's worth, if you're in that category one, having a real emergency, take whatever vein you can get, but if you've got that at least an hour's wait of getting yourself ready, when someone comes to do your cannula, just really simply be like, can we discuss what my different options are.
Yeah. Can we look
so
at
so I can pick the most comfortable spot for yeah. me? It's really not going to add any time to your midwife's time. Who's doing that?
No, there's time. It's that's easy. The key. There's time to do yeah. it as well. There's time to do
indeed.
It.
Indeed.
So.
Other little practical things you can do is still influence your environment. We've talked before yeah. about different birth environments, about home birth, about birth centre, things like that. A theatre is a theatre.
But you can still adapt it.
You can still change
it. You can still change the environment.
So what would you change, Becca? You're going into theatre. What are you asking for?
For me, it'd be lighting. For me, yeah. it'd be lighting. Because for me, light is such a big factor for me in terms of what makes me calm or frightened. Mm-hmm. And if you've got big... I mean, obviously in theatre, they're going to have...
So they've got their big the big lights, light that is pointing.
They have to see, be able to see what they're doing.
Field, yes.
You can't do it in the dark. But the rest of the room, they can actually dim the light. And that can make a difference because obviously if you're looking around the room while they're doing it, you can focus on a different area of the room. Yeah. And if the lights are dimmed in that area, you can focus on that darker area. So you still get that lovely sort of not feeling... you know, going back to oxytocin again, oxytocin likes dark, intimate, yeah. secure rooms. Private. So if you've got a bit of dimmed, yeah. it makes you feel a bit safer, a bit more private. Yeah. It's yeah, not as intimidating.
Yeah. And I think the privacy thing is a big thing. You're in a really sort of quite vulnerable position. And also theatres are busy places. They will be, you'll be looking at probably at least 10 members of staff in that theatre. They've all got very important jobs, like counting,
and you want them there. So it's
but
important
there. Busy, and if you would rather a calmer, quieter environment, having those lights lowered,
still...
you will be much less aware of everyone around you doing their jobs
because they will be darker.
Yeah, exactly.
the background people will be shaded,
exactly. So you
and it just
have that intimate moment,
intimate. And it just seems less scary. Because let's face it, bright beaming lights, you're thinking, oh. I don't feel safe, this is really scary. Having those dimmed areas in the other parts of the room and you can focus on those areas. So for me, it would be lighting, probably, to help me feel calmer.
Interesting. So I think for me, it would be the music.
Would it be music for you?
Maybe not even just the music, but the general sounds in the room.
Because there are going to be a lot of sounds with when they're doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not being horrible, but let's face it, you're going to get lots of liquidy sounds, you're going to get lots of the suction sounds, the general chatter of them going, pass me this, please, pass me that, and it's all, you know, going in, as it were.
And you have control over that, like Becca says. There's sounds that are unavoidable and they won't be able to change, but you still have them. So whether you want music playing, whether that be something calming, whether it be something celebratory, the one one of the many... sort of a big benefit of a C-section is actually if you are the person that has in their mind, I want my child to be born to this particular track. With a vaginal birth, that's going to be pretty difficult to time, but with a C-section, they know the moment your baby's going to be born. If there is a song you want your baby to be born, tell somebody that that is the track you would like to be
and they can do that.
Playing at the moment. Whether if you want something really upbeat, it's at this point, it's a celebration. Your baby's about to be born. Have something upbeat. If you want everyone to be really chatty and jovial around you, or do you want everyone to just stay a bit quiet and keep everything chilled? Yeah. Do you want your surgeon to talk through exactly everything that's happening?
Yeah.
Or does that make you feel a bit squirmy and would rather not know what's happening, just be told the moment your baby's born? Those are all options that you have to take control of that moment.
And that's actually really nice, you saying about the song choice. I've never looked at it that way. That's the only circumstance where...
Unless you've
probably...
got a very organised birth partner in a vaginal birth who is able to...
Quickly do it.
Notice the moment.
That's probably the one time that you could have a song playing.
Yeah, because... I've got a real comedy scene in my head at the moment.
I've got
Circle of Life being played as someone lifts it.
I actually had corn to go, you know, celebrate. Good. That was in my head as you were saying. Imagine that playing.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Actually, one thing to say though, don't choose hypnobirthing tracks. And often they will tell you that because you don't want the theatre people to feel the ones. So you have
but
to be mindful
if you
of.
You do want that kind of track, you can have them in your
ear. I was going to say, obviously don't have it playing in the theatre because they will say, we don't want to be.
They don't want to be feeling
drowsy while doing it. But if you really wanted your hypnobirthing tracks, like Em says, put the headphones on and.
And again, headphones are a good option if you are really wanting to block out all of those other sounds around you. if you are, particularly if you are someone that's a bit squeamish, the idea of being awake during a surgery is so unique. There's so few scenarios where that is used.
Yeah.
Most of us would be out of our comfort zone. If that really does make you feel a bit, putting in headphones, so you are blocking out all of those noises, will probably make that feel a bit more manageable. Personally, I'd be like, tell me everything. But that's just the way I am.
Everyone's all different. Everyone's different. So, yeah, it's what works for you. Yes. It's what works for you. So, yeah, we've had the lighting, we've had, obviously, music, we've obviously had the skin-to-skin in terms of moving bits and pieces. Obviously, cord clamping is the other thing.
Yes.
Now, obviously, optimal cord, if you don't know what optimal cord clamping is, it's quite a big bit. Basically, it's waiting for the cord to turn white.
Completely white.
Meaning that everything's transferred from the placenta to baby. Now, with C-sections, because it can be a process, it can take 7 minutes, maybe about seven, 8 minute mark. Yeah. Sometimes that's not always possible because obviously it is a surgery. Mm-hmm. But however, you still can opt for delayed cord clamping, even with a C-section.
A good sort of minute or 2 minutes.
Yeah, so you can still ask for that and say, I know of a C-section, it has to be only a certain amount of time and it depends on the surgeons, it depends on the circumstances, it depends on
but they should be listening to your wishes. With surgeons, it might come down to what their automatic response is, of what they go to do automatically.
Because there will be a procedure, there will be a protocol to say.
Giving a little reminder, if it's important to me that my baby gets as much blood as possible from that placenta, and seeing what they can make possible. Because if you start to bleed quite heavily or anything,
or baby needs a bit of extra attention, or needs a bit,
asking for as much as possible if that is what is important to you. And also, you can still have immediate skin to skin.
Yeah, of course.
If you watch any show that involves a cesarean, I've noticed this, they do something. The baby is born.
And they're whisked off straight away.
The baby is whisked off somewhere else. They have a hat put on their head. They're wrapped up like a little burrito in their towel.
Yeah.
And then they're passed to mum.
They do that in so many films and shows, don't they?
It's not necessary.
No.
And it's not ideal. You want your baby, ideally, and again, there might be changes in this depending on why you're ending up having a cesarean.
Mm.
If there are concerns about one of your health, then this, you know, take that as it is.
Yeah.
But if everything is going really smoothly and you're both really well, your baby can absolutely still come straight up onto your skin for skin to skin. Theatres are quite chilly, so you will probably need that towel.
I was going to say, when they might be
wrapped in, rather than wrapped in a burrito, that's just being placed laid over the pair of you, but their skin on your skin for that warmth and that heat.
And just that bonding, just that hormone boost.
The hat, we release a lot of pheromones through our head, which was the reason women like to sniff newborns' heads. Mm. It's a biological thing that sets off all of our hormones and our oxytocin, telling us that our baby's been born and that we need all of this.
Did you do that? Do you remember sniffing your two when they were born?
Yeah, I still sniff.
I can't remember,
heads.
You know. I can't remember. Well, I probably did, but I cannot remember.
If you bring newborns near me, I do still sniff their heads a little bit. Isn't that weird? But no, yeah.
Just, yeah, but I don't remember. Isn't that funny? I probably did.
You would have done. It's a biological thing. Did. Some women have a biological, like, primal urge to lick their babies, and it's a real mammalian thing.
Yeah.
That's what animals do. They lick their babies when they've been born, and lots of women get this urge to lick their babies' heads.
It's really interesting. Fascinating, isn't it?
But you can still do all of that
in
theatre. It's just about making sure that you are both warm. There is a slight caveat almost to this. It is very common when women that have had a cesarean, and actually not even a cesarean, sometimes forceps birth or something like that in theatre, there's lots of drugs, lots of medications. It is quite chilly, and as much as with the best one in the world, there's probably going to be some adrenaline flowing. It's really common for women to get the shakes. I had this when I had my first severe shakes.
I did.
That I had my baby on my chest, but within a couple of minutes I actually, for myself, I probably was completely safe holding him, but I felt unsafe in that moment holding him. And I asked my husband to hold him instead.
I had the same experience.
Whoever is with you in theatre will be in scrubs. Get a picture of them. It's great. Scrub hat, full scrubs. You've suddenly got a doctor with you for the day. But they can still either take that off, or if it's, or ask for a really big top, scrub top, when they're given it.
Yeah.
So they can, you won't be getting those benefits from the skin to skin, but your baby will still be getting lots of benefits. Whoever is with you in theatre, their skin to skin is the next best option if for some reason you feel unable, or if you're feeling faint, you know, again, there's blood going on. It's not uncommon to feel
Not uncommon. Woozy, dizzy, nauseous, shaky. So they're all quite common
issue if you don't feel well enough in that moment to do it. Your partner is the next best thing. And as soon as you feel well enough, that baby on your chest for as long as possible, and you will still be reaping all of those benefits.
Absolutely. Still. And there's so many lovely videos. If you type onto YouTube and anywhere on the internet, the great Google, if you type in gentle C-section, there are
family-centered cesareans, they're called sometimes. I've seen that be a key word.
There are
sometimes.
So many lovely videos of what we're talking about, and actually seeing this, because we can talk about this, but actually visualising it is going to help you understand.
Really help.
So have a look for videos. There's so many of them. Yeah. So many of them.
And the other kind of element of this gentle cesarean.
I love this. Again,
is it to do with the moment of your baby?
And you'll see
born.
This in the videos.
Yeah.
It's incredible. In fact, I've got pictures on my Instagram account because I saw a lady that was having a planned C-section, so I did some work with her.
Yeah.
And she sent me the most wonderful pictures, which I've put on there, of her gentle C-section and the moment that baby was slowly emerging and slowly being lifted up.
Okay.
And it's incredible, absolutely incredible pictures. And I guess when you see the videos, it's even more incredible to watch. But it's an incredible thing, isn't it, the gentle C-section approach.
So let's explain a bit of the biology behind this, people that don't know what we're on about.
Mm.
When your baby is born vaginally, they are born really quite slowly, and they are, realistically, being squeezed through a relatively small space.
And there's loads of benefits to that, which we won't mention today.
We're not going to get into them. There is enough space, but they are squeezed through it. But there is a really good reason for that. Part of that squeezing, what it does is, when your baby is in the womb, they are practicing breathing with their amniotic fluid. So the moment that they are being born, they actually have lungs full of liquid of their amniotic fluid.
And mucus and all.
They're squeezed, that compresses their little rib cages, it compresses their lungs, and it forces all of that mucus out of their lungs. So then when they hit the beautiful air in the room, triggers their reflex to take their first breath, they've got nice empty lungs ready to take that nice big first breath of oxygen. With a really speedy birth, whether that be a cesarean or whether
or just
be
a speedy vaginal birth.
A speedy birth, they don't get that squeezing as much. It means they can be a bit more mucus.
And you can hear it, can't you? Sometimes you can hear it with the gargling sort of noises and like that, you can hear it still on their chest.
It's not a problem. It's not going to cause them ill health, but it does mean for the first few days of their life, they'll be quite snuffly. They might have a little kind of like cough kind of thing, like a girl with them. Whilst they work, their body works to clear all of that extra mucus.
And nature
out.
Is very clever, and newborns are very clever. Yeah, they will.
It does it.
It does it.
But
yeah.
If we can, let's give them a slightly easier time.
Yeah.
So what they can do is, again, this incision they make in a cesarean is small. It is around 10 centimetres.
I was surprised at the pictures that I got from my client, how tidy it actually looked.
They are small. Again, nature of cesarean, the more urgent it is, can sometimes make slight variations into what that incision looks like. But in a nice, calm, gentle cesarean, it is as small of an incision as possible, normally around sort of 10 to 12 centimetres. Just remember that a cervix dilates to about 10 centimetres. A baby can fit through that.
Yeah.
And then just allowing them to wiggle almost naturally, really slowly through that incision gives the best mimicking possible of that being squeezed through.
And it's incredible. The videos I've seen, some of them are amazing. Just
they
a gentle.
Kind of just wiggle their way out. Yeah. It's amazing.
They do like the surgeons may do the tiniest little, you know, sort of like encouragement, but they almost come out on their own. Yeah. Some of them, it's incredible. Obviously, it depends on their position and everything, and you know, but most of them, they'll be able to just kind of, it's incredible to watch, and then slowly lifting them out.
At which point, the drapes can be dropped so you can see your baby being born, and then you can be passed, you can reach down to then have that baby brought straight up.
And actually, going back to my client, so she said to me to begin with, I probably won't be able to have the curtain down. I think I'll be too scared.
Yeah.
In that moment, she was able to say, yep, Yeah. Put the curtains down, and she actually watched her baby slowly be lifted out. And it's just incredible to think.
Well, if you think practically about how the body is, actually, from the top end where you are, you wouldn't actually be able to see, in that moment of the drapes being dropped, you won't be able to see your incision. You still have a bump. Even when your baby is out of that bump, your uterus is still...
It takes time to contract
back. Started contracting down at that point. You still have a very large uterus there. You still have a bump. And that incision is on the complete other side of that bump. So you're not going to be seeing yourself cut open.
No.
You will just be seeing actually a very similar view to if you looked before your cesarean.
Yeah. Just looking down, seeing
it. With the baby being lifted up on the other side of that tummy.
It's incredible. It really is incredible. And of course, going back to, you know, if you had in your birth plan, if you don't know the gender.
Yep.
And you want you or your birth partner to see that, you know, again, you can say to them, I want my birth partner to announce their gender.
Make sure they know that, so they don't do a, and here he is. That we got so close.
So yeah, make sure you say, I'd like my birth partner to be the one to tell me when baby's lifted up.
Birth partners can still cut the cord if that's something they wish to do, or if it's something that the person giving birth wants to do. That can all still be done. If you want to use cord ties, all of those kind of things, that is still all an option.
Yeah.
It is still your baby being born.
Exactly.
Have options. We know it's a daunting idea.
And it may not be what you've planned, but
it
actually
can still be beautiful.
It can still be, like you said, an amazing experience and mimicking a vaginal birth as well. So you can still, as we've just discussed, there's still many elements that you can still have as closely mimicking a vaginal birth as possible and the benefits of that. So as we've often said, it's not how you give birth, it's how you feel when you give birth. And that's the key. Just think, okay, it may not have been what my birth plan said, but I was able to put all these things in place and still had the most amazing birth experience.
Yeah. Or, in my opinion, have a section on your birth plan that says, if I need a cesarean. So ultimately, it is what your birth plan says. It might not have been option number one of what you were really hoping for out of those, but it's still something you prepared for. It's something you planned for.
Yeah.
Look into it. Make sure you know a little bit. We don't have time today to, you know, fully go into recovery and all of those things.
No, we can have that separate episode. Yeah.
But make sure you know a little bit about recovery, making sure you're taking your painkillers, making sure you've got that support plan for the potential outcome of needing a cesarean.
So if you think, actually, I mean, you can do this whatever birth you have. If you think about what meals I'm going to prepare beforehand, if family members can cook things and put them in your freezer, if family members can help with any house jobs you want to do, or house cleaning up, or what they call the nesting stage, where you feel like I've got to clean every cupboard in the house. But with any birth, really, planning for postnatal, whether it's cesarean or not, is going to help
really
you.
Important.
But if you do have a C-section, it's going to be even more beneficial to have those meals planned, to have things ready, to all things like that, really. So
we hope that has kind of put people's minds at rest a little bit about what a cesarean actually is and what it can look like.
Yeah, the choices you have.
Yeah.
And obviously we can put some links in the episode description of maybe some YouTube videos of gentle C, so you can see what we're talking about. Yeah. But yeah, just in terms of C-sections, hopefully we've kind of, divulged a little bit of information for you. So,
Okay, well, we'll be back
very soon.
Weeks. I think it might be a little just me and Becca episode next time again, and we'll see what we have for you.
But if you have anything you want us to talk about, if you've got any topics you'd like us to talk about, or you know, anything specific, drop us a message and we'll be happy to talk about it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, cool. But we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the East Surrey Bump to Baby podcast today. If you have any topics you'd like us to cover in the upcoming episodes, please do get in touch. You can find me, Becca, at Be Your Own Birth on www.beyourownbirth.co.uk, and you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can find me, Emma, at Calm Mama Collective, www.calmmamacollective.co.uk, and on Instagram I am calmmama_hypnobirthing. We'll see you next time.